Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21-2011.com. Today we're going to study and take a little detour from the book of Revelation. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. That verse reads, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast." Now, there are those who read the previous text of Isaiah 26:20 and conclude that this means that God's people are not now to be active in bringing judgment upon the world, but rather they are to be shutting themselves up and hiding away from Judgment Day that we are now in, ever since May 21, 2011, until, as our verse states, the indignation, that is God's wrath or anger, be overpassed. Is this really what this verse is teaching? We will answer this question by first looking at various verses which clearly teach that God's people are not to be closed up and hiding during Judgment Day that we are now in. And then, in light of those verses, we will come back for a closer look at Isaiah 26:20 to obtain a better understanding of its meaning for God's people today who are right now in the midst of God's final indignation, that is God's wrath or anger against the whole world, including all the Christian churches worldwide. There are many verses which reveal God's people, the elect, to be active during Judgment Day or the indignation that we are currently in, and not to shut up behind closed doors, doing nothing ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. For instance, we read about Judgment Day or the period of God's indignation or anger against this world in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, that will now be read and briefly commented on in the recorded message alone. I will not go into detail about these verses at this time, for it is not our purpose to do so in this study. Nevertheless, you can come back at another time and click on Revelation 9, 1 through 5 to get all the details if you so desire. Anyway, those verses read, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." This star that fell from heaven fell on May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began, and that star is Christ, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. This smoke and the idea of a great furnace in the Bible has to do with judgment. So when Christ opened the bottomless pit represents or symbolizes the place of judgment. For remember, that's where Christ cast Satan, was in the bottomless pit after he cast him out of heaven at the cross. And then we read, "And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke and the pit." The sun in the Bible represents Christ, and the air in this context represents the Holy Spirit. Both the sun and the air were darkened. Both Christ and the Holy Spirit were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, because there is no more salvation ever since May 21, 2011. Christ has been darkened. The light is not shining. and the Holy Spirit is not saving. So we are told the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Now, locusts in the Bible, once again, have to do with judgment. Remember, locusts were one of the 10 plagues given upon the ancient Pharaoh of Egypt, who would not let God's people go. And unto them was given power. That is, unto these locusts was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, scorpions in the Bible has to do with demonic powers or false prophets. And so these locusts were given such power as false prophets of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now, the grass of the earth in the Bible symbolizes the true believers, the saved, the elect. So does any green thing, and so does any tree. These locusts are not permitted to harm them, the true people of God, in any way, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Those are all the unsaved of unsaved people that now fill the churches and fill the world throughout. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented for 5 months. So these locusts aren't allowed to, or permitted to, kill the unsaved people of the world and the churches, that is, physically kill them at this point, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Now, 5 months in the Bible is symbolic. Five symbolizes a period of judgment or a period of grace, and in this context, it's obviously symbolizing a period of judgment, without any reference to how long that period would be. It actually refers to the time from May 21, 2011, to the very end. Now, the torment of these locusts to the unsaved was as the torment of a scorpion, as a false prophet, demonic powers coming through false prophets when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The death that the unsaved are seeking is not physical death, but spiritual death in Christ. That is eternal salvation, eternal life. And we read even more about these locusts that have tails like scorpions which sting the unsaved in the world during the period of God's wrath upon the world in which we now find ourselves ever since May 21, 2011, in verses 10 through 11, where we read, "And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit." Now, these locusts had tails like unto scorpions. Now, the word tails in the Bible is symbolic of false prophets, just like scorpions can be. So these are like unto false prophets. It doesn't say they are false prophets. It says they're like false prophets. And there were stings in their tails. That is, these prophets are speaking out, and it's stinging the unsaved people of the world and hurting them. And what it is the message that judgment has come upon them. and there is no hope for their salvation because there is no more salvation. And this hurts men for the period from May 21, 2011 until the very end, the 5 months. And they had king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. The angel of the bottomless pit, a lot of people say, is Satan. But this term angel can be translated just as well as messenger. And it is actually Christ, if we do a deeper study into this, which you can come back and read that study by clicking on Revelation 9, verses 1 through 5 for more details. But they had king over them, that is, Christ, who is the messenger of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek has the name Apollyon, which means destroyer. In other words, Christ is coming to destroy ever since May 21, 2011. And he's doing that through his people, the elect, as they proclaim there is no more salvation to anyone who's still in the churches or those all the rest of the people that are out in the world. It stings them. It brings harm to them, whether they realize it or not. It does, spiritually. It torments them. Now, once again, it is not our purpose in this message to go into the details of all these verses, for you can do that yourself by clicking here on Revelation 9, 1 through 5, and then Revelation 9, verses 6 through 12 that we just briefly went over. But when we had studied these verses some time ago, we found that these invisible locusts symbolize God's judgment itself, and in that these locusts have power as scorpions meant that they have power like as demonic forces through false prophets that lead people to destruction and not to salvation. These invisible locusts are not God's people, as some have taught, but they are definitely associated with God's people who bring judgment upon the world. For as the elect proclaim judgment day, or the indignation of God, of no more eternal life possible for anyone who was not so granted by May 21, 2011, the unsaved people in the world are stung or hurt by the locust's tails with the realization and torment that they cannot any longer be eternally saved or granted eternal life, but will relatively soon be cast into the lake of fire. This brings great torment to the unsaved people in the world. But without the activity of God's people in proclaiming judgment, or what we can call God's indignation or anger, his final indignation or anger upon the world, none of this would be possible. Thus, God's people, the elect, must be being active, that is, in bringing and declaring God's wrath, or the unsaved people would not be being stung or hurt by the locust tails during the indignation or judgment day that we are now in, like as if they were being tormented by false prophets when they are not false prophets, but true prophets of God, indeed. They're like false prophets because when false prophets come to a people, they have a demonic power to lead them astray, to lead them off the path to salvation. And in this case, God's true people, unlike during the gospel age, when they were leading them to salvation, during judgment day, God's people are leading the people to damnation, because there is no more eternal salvation ever since May 21, 2011. And we see that God's people, the elect, are very active, therefore, during Judgment Day that we are now in, even more clearly in the last section of Revelation 9 in verses 13 through 21 that we will now read and briefly comment on in the recorded audio message of these verses alone. To obtain more details on these verses, you can always come back and click on Revelation 9, 13 through 21. These verses read as such. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. The voice is the voice of Christ, and it comes from the four horns of the golden altar, because the golden altar was an altar of incense that stood before the inner curtain, and incense that went up from it in the Bible is symbolic of the prayers of the saints, or the prayers of God's people, and they have been praying for judgment to come. They see all the wicked and evil, and they've been praying for a long time that judgment would come. So, when it says, I heard a voice from the four horns represent worldwide strength. The number four symbolizes worldwide, and horns symbolize strength or power in the Bible. And so, a voice, that is the voice of Christ, was heard from the strength, the worldwide strength that resulted from the prayers of the saints, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels. The four angels, four represents worldwide. Angels can just as well be translated as messengers. So, loose the worldwide messengers, which are bound in the great rivers Euphrates. Now, the river Euphrates was the boundary line between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Babylon, or this world. That boundary line, we could say, is hell. Because one has to get through hell before they can go to heaven. And, of course, Christ did that for his people. But there's a sense in which God's people are still bound in the river Great Euphrates because they still have these sinful bodies. They haven't yet been perfected, and they won't be until the last day when they receive brand new sinless bodies. So there is a sense, even though spiritually they have been freed already from the great river Euphrates, on May 21, 2011, they were in principle released from the great river Euphrates, because that's when Satan was actually deposed, brought down from his rule over all the world and all the churches, even though God is still allowing them to rule over the churches as judgment against them. Christ is now ruling with a rod of iron. Satan is no longer ruling, but God is still using Satan to bring judgment against all the churches. And it was on May 21, 2011, when the worldwide messengers, who are the elect, God's saints, his people, were loosed from the great river Euphrates because Satan had been conquered. and all the elect. The last of God's elect was saved on May 21, 2011. No more of them will be saved. So the whole body of Christ, in a sense, being complete and completely saved on May 21, 2011, and Satan being deposed from his great rule that he was given during the Great Tribulation to bring judgment against all the churches. He was deposed on May 21, 2011, but he's still being allowed by God to rule the churches as judgment against them. But the elect were, in a sense, released on May 21, 2011 to bring judgment against all the churches worldwide. And we read, and the four angels were loosed, that is the worldwide messengers, that is the elect, were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. That's May 21, 2011. And they were released for to slay the third part of men. The third part in the Bible, in this context, symbolizes all the Christian churches worldwide, all the people in the Christian churches. So on May 21, 2011, God's people, His saints, His believers, true believers, were loosed to slay or kill all the people in the churches and congregations worldwide. Now, He didn't physically kill them, but they spiritually killed them by letting them know that they cannot possibly any longer be eternally saved. And that will result in their absolutely being physically destroyed on the last day of Judgment Day that we are in. So the elect are slaying the third part of men right now as they declare the message of judgment against them. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, or 200 million. And I heard the number of them. The number two symbolizes the true people of God in this context. And the thousand represents the completeness of whatever is in view. So this is the completeness of all God's true people during the judgment day that we are now in. And now we read, I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire. So this is a description of the people that are riding the horses. Now, horses are symbolic of battle. So this represents the elect as coming in battle, and that's why they're sitting on horses, and they have breastplates of fire. Breastplates were something that the priests wore, and this symbolizes once again the elect, because the elect, God's saints, the truly saved people, they are priests. Notice that they're breastplates of fire. In other words, they're coming as priests in judgment. Fire symbolizes judgment. And they had breastplates of fire and of jacinth. Well, jacinth is a precious stone, and that once again points to God's elect. And we read these breastplates are also of brimstone. That has to do with judgment. So once again, this is God's true people, His priests, coming in judgment. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Now the heads of lions devour their prey. So the elect are coming to devour their prey, which we already read was the third part. That is all those in the churches and congregations worldwide. And out of the elect's mouth, or out of the horse's mouth, issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, it's coming out of their mouth, so this is a declaration. These are words. These are a declaration of God's people bringing judgment. Because out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. All three of those have to do with judgment. And in that there are three of them, symbolizes in the Bible, it's the purpose of God. It's the purpose of God to bring God's true priests, his true believers, in judgment against the third part, all the churches and congregations, by declaring judgment against them. There is no more eternal salvation for you. Your hopes are gone. Judgment and wrath is upon all the churches and congregations. You did not depart out. You did not obey Christ. In most cases, you don't even acknowledge that the judgment of God is on you. And then in verse 18, we read, by these three was the third part of men killed. That is, they were spiritually killed, like I said before, by the fire and by the smoke and the brimstone. That is the judgment of God. That is the purpose of God, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. It's in their mouth because their words coming out of their mouth. They're declaring the words of judgment that come from God Himself. And that comes in power. And that power is not only in their mouth, it's in their tails. Tails, once again, symbolize false prophets in the Bible. And the believers aren't false prophets, but in a sense they're coming with the power of false prophets because they're declaring things that cannot possibly save the people, the third part, the people in the churches, but it actually condemns them. That's why it says, for their tails were like unto serpents. That is, they're prophesying. They're declaring the judgment and wrath on God was like serpents because serpents come to destroy, right? Serpents, like the serpent represented Satan. He was the big serpent. And serpents represent demons. They're coming as if they were demons. They're not, because they're leading the people to destruction by their message. They're proclaiming judgment. So it's like a serpent striking the third part, all those in the churches and congregations. And then in verse 20 we read, and the rest of the men. Now the rest of the men would be all the people who are not a part of the third part. This would be all the people outside of the churches in any religion, philosophy, or anyone. Everyone else. The rest of men who were not killed by these plagues. Notice that these plagues were spiritual. Yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Well, they wouldn't repent. Nobody will repent. And that encourages us that we are walking in the truth. When we say there is no more salvation, because repentance itself is a gift from God. And if nobody's repenting, God is not giving the gift of repentance and salvation to anybody. That's why they're not repenting. So they continue worshiping their false gods, their devils, their idols of gold, silver, and brass, and stone. And a wood, in a lot of cases, it's not physical things like that. It's concepts that, wrong concepts that people have in their minds, wrong philosophies, wrong views and pictures of Christ, ideas of Christ that aren't true. These are all idols. And the people would not repent from them. Neither repented they of their murders. Now, not everybody murders someone in what we think is normally think of as murder, but the Bible says that anyone who hates their brother or sister has already committed murder in their hearts. And the whole world of people hate the true believers of God in their hearts. So they're all murderers. They repented that not of their murders, nor of their sorceries. Sorceries are like witchcraft in our day, like channeling spirits or talking to the dead or divining or things like that. They would not repent from those things, nor of their fornication. Fornication is a very broad term. It includes adultery. It includes spiritual adultery, which means the worship of false gods. They wouldn't repent from their adulteries, their fornications, their sexual deviancies, their pornography. These things are all fornication. And we read they would not repent of their thefts. So all the rest of the people in the world, other than those in the churches and congregations, they're not repenting during Judgment Day. God tells us right here they would not repent. So we shouldn't expect that they would repent unto salvation. They might repent from being an alcoholic or from being a drug addict or from this or that, but that's not the kind of repentance we're talking about. We're talking about repentance unto salvation, and nobody is repenting as such. They're just continuing in their sins because there is no more possibility of salvation or the gift of repentance that comes only from God during Judgment Day. Now, as was previously stated, the purpose of looking at these verses is not to go into detail about them, for you can read and listen to the details about these verses by clicking on this link of Revelation 9, verses 13 through 21. But we just want to recognize that during the indignation or judgment day that we are now in, ever since May 21, 2011, the elect are not to be hidden in their chambers, bedrooms, or closets behind closed doors doing nothing, as Isaiah 26:20 might make some do. No, rather, as we see in these verses, the completeness of all God's elect or true people of God, one complete body were loosed for an hour and a day and a month and a year from Satan's spiritual bonds on May 21, 2011 by the whole one body of them, then having finally all become eternally saved on May 21, 2011, for to slay the third part of men. That's their whole purpose. And they should all now, therefore, be coming in battle, bringing and declaring God's wrath of no more eternal life or salvation against the third part, which are all those still in the Christian churches worldwide. This is why we read, by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, that symbolizes judgment, and by the smoke, that symbolizes judgment, and by the brimstone, that symbolizes judgment, which issued out of their, that is, the elect's mouth. It's their proclamation. It is their proclamation of no more salvation to anyone who's still in the church. That's what's coming out of their mouths. It is the judgment of God. It issued out of their mouth, so to make it clear that God's true people, the elect, should be declaring judgment out of their mouths, writings, emails, websites, tweets, and every way they can against all the people still in the Christian churches. The third part. And as we do that, the people who still attend a church of any kind, without exception, are spiritually slain or killed because they can no longer be granted eternal life or salvation. And they are all being bundled together in the churches to relatively soon be cast into the lake of fire on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. As God's true people are being raptured on the last day, all those still in the churches will be painfully surprised to find themselves being cast into the lake of fire. Woe to you all who cannot part with your church. You love this world more than Christ. But as God declares in 1 John 2:15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. And we read in John 12, verses 24 through 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat, that is you, fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Woe to you, third part, that is every person still in any or every Christian church worldwide. For God's true people were loosed from the great river Euphrates on May 21, 2011. That is, the entire body of Christ was then made complete when the last elect person was saved from bondage to Satan and sin to declare God's wrath upon you, O synagogues of Satan, with no more possibility of eternal life for any of you. For the final judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. But you, O third part, are blind and naked and being fed a strong delusion from God himself, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, to bundle you for the relatively soon to come fire on the last day of judgment day that we are now in, that you will be cast into forever. On that day, you will mourn and weep as you see God's people being raptured to heaven, but you yourselves being left for burning because you would not listen to the words of God. Oh, you stiff-necked and obstinate people. The church age is over, but can you know it? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. Have you not eyes? Have you not ears? Do you not know that the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, now rules over you? Of course not. Because you have rejected the true Yahweh and constructed a god of your own making, an idol. Have you not read in Psalm 135, verses 15 through 18, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands? They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them shall be like unto them. Yes, everyone that trusts in them. You also, who have trusted in your idols, have become like them. You have eyes, but you see not. You have ears, but you hear not. Neither is there any breath in your mouth, because your end is destruction. You think you live, but you are already dead, because you will not repent. Depart out from your church and serve the true, living Lord instead of your dead idols. Well, there are many other verses in Holy Scriptures to show that God's true people, His elect, are to be very active during the final indignation or judgment day that we are now in. And they should not be hiding in their chambers with the doors closed. We read in Jeremiah 50, verses 1 through 3. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans, by Jeremiah the prophet, declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard, publish, and conceal it not. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her. And that nation was the Medes and the Persians, which symbolized the elect, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. Once again, it reads, declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard, publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Who is to declare this? God says, declare you. Obviously, this is a command for God's true people to declare judgment upon Babylon. And who is Babylon? From our studies in Revelation 8, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, and Revelation 18, all of which you can click on to refresh your memories. Babylon was a nation that conquered Jerusalem in 587 BC. That's the ancient Babylon. And it was a type of Satan's kingdom, the world, that conquered all the Christian churches, also called Judah and Jerusalem, by September 7th of 1994 of the Great Tribulation, as God's judgment against them by handing them over to the counterfeit Christ, the true Antichrist that was foretold to come, Satan himself. He's also called the man of sin. Not that he's a man, but that's just another name he's called. For the final judgment had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Just as ancient Judah and Jerusalem were destroyed by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, so also was the modern day Judah and Jerusalem, the corporate church, spiritually destroyed by the king of modern day Babylon, Satan himself. And ever since Satan was given rule over all the Christian churches worldwide by September 7th, 1994, they became a part of his kingdom of Babylon, or the world. And this is why the churches are now called Babylon the Great, which is the world and all the Christian churches together. So when God's people were commanded to declare and publish judgment against Babylon on May 21, 2011, we should now be bringing and proclaiming God's wrath against both the Christian churches and the entire world, with a greater focus against the churches. For the day of his final indignation began on his own church on May 21, 1988, and it continued on May 21, 2011, with expansion against the whole world as well. Clearly, we, God's people, should not be sitting around in our chambers with our doors closed. Isaiah chapter 13 teaches the same thing. We read in Isaiah 13, verse 18, their bows, that is the bows of the elect, also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. You can study Isaiah 13 and this verse in detail by clicking on here. But leave it to say, we are being once again taught that the bows of the elect should be dashing young men to pieces during the day of Yahweh, or judgment day, that we are now in. The bows of the elect are symbolic of their mouths, which shoot out arrows, which are symbolic of their words of judgment against Babylon. And Babylon now consists of the world and all the churches worldwide. It is called Babylon the Great because it had infiltrated and taken over all the great churches of God worldwide to make them a part of Babylon. So once again, we see that the elect, or God's true people, are not to be closed up in their chambers with doors closed, but they should be involved in bringing of the proclamation against all the churches in the world, that there is no more eternal life for them. And it is certain that anyone who wants to continue in rebellion to Christ by remaining in their church is destined for the relatively soon to come lake of fire on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. The church age is over. It matters not if those who are still in the churches appear to be most upstanding people and Christians, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel or messenger of light, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. It's like one who appears to be an upright Christian in every way, but he won't repent from living in sex before marriage because he just can't see that being taught in God's Word. Can such a one continue in sin and still be a true Christian? Absolutely not. For he that saith, I know him, that is Christ, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2, verse 4. Likewise, if one who will not obey Christ to leave his church and recognize that God's wrath has come upon it because he just can't see that being taught in God's Word, can such a one be a true Christian? Absolutely not. Now, there are many other verses that go against God's people shutting themselves in and closing the door until the indignation or judgment day be passed, like Revelation 19, verses 17 through 21, where the fowls of the air, that is the elect, are called to the supper of the great God to eat the flesh of all the unsaved in the churches and the world who were slain on May 21, 2011 by the sword that protrudes from the mouth of God, that is the Word of God. The elect, of course, do not physically eat the flesh of the unsaved during Judgment Day and the indignation that we are now in, but eating the flesh of them is simply a metaphor, meaning that the elect spiritually devour or destroy them during Judgment Day. And as we have seen in Revelation 9 that you can click on, and Isaiah 13 that you can click on, that we previously mentioned, the elect devour them by declaring with their mouth judgment against them, with no more hope for any of their eternal salvations. For this declaration of the elect is the very word of God, which is the sword that proceeds from the mouth of our great God. As we do declare judgment of no eternal life and salvation possible against all the Christian churches worldwide in obedience to our Lord as his army of saints, we are spiritually devouring or eating their flesh until when on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in, their physical flesh will be burned up in the lake of fire because they could not be spiritually saved, guaranteeing that they will not be physically saved either. So ever since the final judgment came on May 21, 2011, making it impossible to any longer be granted eternal life and salvation for those who have remained in their churches, they are now certain to perish forever. Woe, 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 O daughters of Babylon, for your time has come to be destroyed, for destroying my vineyard. I looked for grapes, but there were only wild grapes. Then there is Revelation 16 that you can click on for the details, where it is the elect of God who pour out the last seven vials of God's wrath during Judgment Day, or the indignation of God that we are now in. Would we be going too far to say that this pouring out of the seven vials is the elect as they declare judgment upon all the churches and the world? I think not. But regardless, the elect are obviously being pictured as being very active and involved during the final indignation of God that we are now in. They are certainly not being pictured as hidden in their chambers behind closed doors doing nothing, as some have thought Isaiah 26:20 seems to say. Well, there are many more verses that could be brought up that seem to contradict what Isaiah 26:20 says. But what has been brought up already should be enough. So in the light of all those verses previously mentioned, let's now look at Isaiah 26:20 to see how it must be interpreted. Once again, it reads, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast." In this verse, we are given four verbal commands, or imperatives in the Hebrew. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, and hide thyself. Since the number four can symbolize worldwide or universality in the Bible, and you can click on the number four to see that, we are being told that God's people worldwide are commanded or instructed to come and enter into their chambers and shut their doors about them, to hide themselves for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. On the surface, this sounds like God's people worldwide are to physically shut themselves in to hide from the indignation or judgment day that we are now in. And so not to be involved with declaring judgment day, but closed in and ignoring it. But that cannot be based. That cannot be. It cannot be based on what we saw already in other verses of the Bible. So what can Isaiah 26:20 mean for us today? Well, we must view Isaiah 26:20 through a spiritual lens, as is so often true in God's Bible. For it is a spiritual book written by a spirit through men. And this Holy Spirit, God Himself, wants us to not only see the literal application, if there is one, but also, and more so, the spiritual application of His Word through the physical lettering written down in physical holy manuscripts. So although to enter one's chambers in the Bible can often mean to enter one's physical room, such as a bedroom, closet, house, parlor, or some other physical space of privacy, It can also mean to enter the room of our spiritual inward parts or innermost being, such as our hearts, minds, or souls, where we actually commune with God, where the spiritual everlasting Zion or Jerusalem is. For instance, we read in Proverbs 18:8 and also in Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer, that is a gossiper, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts, that is the chambers, of the belly. The innermost parts of the belly is synonymous with the innermost parts of one's person, namely one's heart, mind, or soul. That is, when a gossiper speaks, those spoken words bring hurt or wounds to the innermost person to whom the gossiper speaks against. That is, their heart, mind, or soul, which are spiritual. Thus, the word normally translated as chambers can refer to the hearts, minds, or souls of a person. We see this again in Proverbs 20, verse 27, and 20, verse 30. First, Proverbs 20, 27 reads, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Then Proverbs 20:30 reads, "The blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. So do stripes," that is like being whipped, "the inward parts of the belly." In both of these verses, we once again see that the Hebrew word normally translated as chamber, keter, can be translated as the heart, mind, or soul of a person, depending on the context. Which brings us back to Isaiah 26:20. It states, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers." Could this mean not for us to enter into our physical chambers of some kind, but instead to come and enter into our spiritual chambers of our innermost person, such as our hearts, minds, or souls? If we are eternally saved, this would be that secret place where Christ resides in us, where we go to privately speak with, pray to, and worship God. Spiritually, it is the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of God's temple that we are, where the Ark of the Covenant is and the mercy seat, namely Christ Himself, where we privately commune and fellowship with God. These are the innermost chambers that we are commanded to come and enter into during Judgment Day or the Indignation. They are not physical chambers like a bedroom, house, closet, parlor, or some other similar place, but they are our innermost spiritual parts, our hearts, minds, or souls, which the Bible uses interchangeably to refer to our innermost person. Unlike physical chambers like bedrooms, closets, houses, parlors, and the like, we can enter these spiritual chambers wherever we are, because they are within us and not subject to any particular place. Now, our verse continues by saying, "And shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpast." What does it mean to shut thy doors about thee? Well, first of all, because the word doors is in the plural, it could be translated as double doors. So what then does it mean to close the double door about thee? A double door means it is a large doorway. But what does the door represent? Remember what Christ said in John 10. He said, In verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That is, the door of God's true people is Christ Himself. And before the indignation or judgment day began on May 21, 2011, God's people, the elect, had their doors wide open so that people might enter through the faith of Jesus Christ to be granted eternal life and salvation, and so find pasture in the same spiritual place that we do in our hearts, minds, and souls. It was a large doorway of double doors because the elect once had their hearts, minds, and souls wide open, like never before, in that they greatly desired for people to become saved as they sent the gospel into the world one last time during the latter rain from September 7 of 1994 to May 21, 2011, because they knew once Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, Christ would command His people, as He does in Isaiah 26:20, to come and enter into their innermost person, their hearts and minds, and shut their doors to salvation. That is, salvation came to an end. And hide themselves for the world, from the world, that is, insofar as any longer bringing the gospel is concerned, until the indignation or judgment day pass over or come to an end. In other words, when Isaiah declares, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed," God does not mean by this that His people worldwide are to literally shut themselves up behind physical doors to hide from or stop bringing and declaring God's judgment upon all the churches in the world, as we already saw we should be doing, just as fervently as we once brought the gospel. But it simply means we are to shut our doors of salvation behind us and so hide ourselves from, that is, simply stop any longer bringing the gospel to anyone ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. That's what Isaiah 26:20 means. And so now I must ask you, have you not been getting the message of judgment out, no more eternal life and salvation as you should, because of a verse like Isaiah 26:20 that seems to say that you should hide away in your chambers and shut your doors to being actively involved during the indignation or judgment day? Are you just waiting things out instead of being actively and fervently involved in bringing and proclaiming the wrath of God upon all the churches in the world by using your talents and resources to do so and supporting those who are? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we should all be greatly involved in and supporting the proclamation of judgment against the world, especially all the Christian churches, against all the Christian churches. For just as we were to send the gospel into the whole world before May 21, 2011, we should now be sending the message of no more eternal life and salvation possible to all those still in the churches and the world by using our money, talents, and resources to do so and supporting those who are. It should be our primary focus, period. We should not be focused upon the world and all the terrible things happening therein and around us, nor should any primary focus be on politics or to save our country. For the truth is that our country is under the wrath of God because of all the sins of the churches therein and the world. And it cannot be saved because the peoples in the churches and the world are not repenting from their sins. And God already told us that they won't. Remember what we read in Revelation 9, verses 20 through 21? In fact, they can't even see that God's wrath is upon them, and Satan rules over them. That is a part of God's judgment upon them. Indeed, God is feeding them all a strong delusion that they are worshiping Christ or God, when in fact they are worshiping the perfect counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, also called the man of sin, or some other false god, and they have been blinded from seeing all their sins. Therefore, the whole world and the whole corporate church are sooner or later doomed. We cannot fight against that, lest we find ourselves fighting against God himself. Instead, let's fulfill our calling and judge the world by declaring the truth. For do you not know that we, the saints, should be active judging the world right now? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. God's final judgment has come. The day of Yahweh has come. That terrible day has come. No one can any longer receive eternal life. And all the billions of unsaved people in the churches and world will relatively soon be destroyed in the lake of fire that will burn this earth to a crisp. But we have been greatly blessed to have been granted eternal life through the faith of Christ by May 21, 2011. And we will soon receive incorruptible and glorious bodies to live in a new incorruptible and beautiful heaven and earth forever, with no more sorrow and sadness, no more suffering and pain, no more death. If we fulfill our calling to judge the world by declaring Judgment Day to be here, and no more possibility for eternal life and salvation to anyone remaining in a church and anyone anywhere not already saved by May 21, 2011. Yes, we have come and entered into our innermost person, our hearts, minds, and souls to fellowship with, pray to, and worship God in private, where the world cannot see. And we have shut the doors of salvation through Christ in hiding to no longer bring the gospel to the world. But we must now proclaim judgment as if it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Then our reward will be great, and the sufferings that we have suffered here will all but suddenly disappear. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.